The epistle appointed to be read for the Feast of Pentecost is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. When the days of Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues, as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with divers tongues, according as the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded in mind, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, "Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how have we heard every man our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, and Elamites, and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews also, and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We have heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loved me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my words. And the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's, who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, abiding with you. But the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your mind, whatsoever I shall have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You have heard that I said to you, I go away and I come unto you. If you loved me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it shall come to pass, you may believe. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandment, so do I." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, today we celebrate the great feast of Pentecost, and I would like to tell you an account, a very moving and encouraging account of the third glorious mystery of the Rosary. It is an account which is given by a pious author, and the author's account is based on sacred scripture, the text of today's Mass. But this author added to the text of scripture his own thoughts on scripture. It is almost as if it were a meditation that you are reading through, especially with regards to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He says that the apostles were there in the upper room waiting for the coming of the Holy Ghost when Our Lady rose quietly, crouched on the floor and low stools. The apostles looked up expectantly to her. Mary was going to pray again. They scrambled to their knees, and she stood among them like a flower, tall and white and pure, her eyes lifted towards heaven. Hope welled up in their hearts. Surely, they thought, her son would not long delay the sending of the Comforter, the Paraclete, when it was his very mother who asked it. The Holy Ghost, whom she mysteriously called her spouse, could he resist her invitation to bring his comfort into their hearts? She began praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And the apostles' low voices caught up and repeated with her the prayer that her son had taught the apostles. They paused, but she continued to pray. She whispered, "Holy Ghost, Comforter, Spouse of my soul, we await your coming." And then, dropping her head, she said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." There was a sudden rush of wind, a wind that shook the house, yet left the apostles completely unafraid. Almost it was as if they were blown to their feet. There was a rustling outside in what had been deserted streets, but that sound struck no terror. They saw that Mary's eyes were no longer beseeching, but welcoming. Lifted, not in hopeful prayer, but full of love, she whispered, "He has come." And then without explanation, she added a single word, "Again." And the consuming flame that was the spirit of love and courage dropped down upon the apostles and flung them first onto their knees and then into the glorious mission that was to make them like living torches throughout the waiting and expectant world. This is an account which is a glorious account, as it brings before our eyes in more detail the very mystery which we try to meditate upon as we pray the glorious mysteries, the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles and upon Our Lady. The apostles did become, as he wrote in his meditation, like living torches. That is, they were on fire, literally on fire with love for God. And the reason the apostles went from being timid men in the upper room to spread throughout the world, to take different quarters, to evangelize the heathen to the point of undergoing martyrdom for the faith, was because of the gift of fortitude. And that gift of fortitude, of courage, was bestowed upon them on this day years ago by the Holy Ghost. This is the courage that we need. That is the exact same gift of the Holy Ghost that we all stand in need of. Father Ryan says, "The same divine power that fortified the apostles, the same divine power that enabled them to triumph over the world, the divine power that enabled them to triumph over the devil, and the divine power that gave them the power to triumph over themselves, their passions, that same divine power is there for us. It's no different. It is the grace which the Holy Ghost brings on Pentecost. The divine power of grace is present for you, for myself, for the whole world to conquer sin and temptation. My dear friends, on this Pentecost Sunday, as we meditate upon that first Pentecost, let us ask God for the grace to use His grace that He has given to us. Because, as I said, it is there. He has it. But it remains up to us to kneel before our Lord here in the chapel. He is present now before us on our altar in the tabernacle. Ask Him while you are before Him to be moved with the infusion of the gift of courage like the apostles. They went out. St. Bartholomew was flayed alive, whereas before he was hiding for fear of men. And he willingly underwent martyrdom among the apostles. Let us ask the third person of the Blessed Trinity for greater courage in the profession of our Holy Catholic faith. I think we have to remember that our faith is a free gift, something that we have been given, and it is something that we have to take seriously. And one way, a very practical way, that we can show our Lord that we do take seriously our Catholic faith, a way that we can show Almighty God that our faith is the most important gift in our life, is by attending Mass with devotion. And notice, I do not say just attending Mass alone, but attending Mass with devotion. Very necessary. It's not sufficient, in other words, just to attend Mass. We can't just show up on Sundays or even on weekdays. We have to have devotion. If we want to exercise our faith, if we want to strengthen our belief in our Savior Jesus Christ, and we do, that's why we are here. That's why we are Catholic. If we wish to prove to Almighty God that we appreciate the faith He has given to us, then our assistance at the Mass has to be what we call an active participation. Our participation at Mass cannot be a passive one. In other words, simply we must have devotion. And interestingly, the word devotion in English comes from the Latin word devovere, and that word means to consecrate or to make holy. And it is expressive of two things. The word is expressive of love and action, both. It is a powerful word, devotion. And if a person has a devotion for the Mass, that means that they love the Mass. Or at least they are striving to love it in terms of, they might not feel as if they love the Mass. They might have great difficulty in wanting to come to the Mass. That happens. God allows that. But that doesn't mean they don't have devotion for the Mass. Because these people, because we love the Mass, because we strive to love the Mass, we should want to do something about it. In other words, we should want to fulfill the full meaning of the word devotion, which is action. We have to prove it. A person who attends Mass with devotion uses their missal, tries to follow the Mass, to read through the prayers, to figure out, what does this mean? What does this prayer in the offertory, for instance, or in the communion verse, or the epistle, or the prayers that we pray every single time we offer Mass that don't change? The prayers that have been prayed throughout the centuries that have not changed for hundreds and hundreds of years, what do these mean? That is making our participation at Mass an active participation and fulfilling our devotion for it, regardless of whether or not we feel good. It has to do with knowledge. So the Missal is a very, very helpful way to put that into practice. Or a person who prays the Rosary during a Mass is a very, very powerful way to prove to our Lord that we are here for Him, to remember what He did on Calvary. That's why we're at the Mass. It is a renewal of the crucifix. When we pray the Rosary, we strive to concentrate on the words, to think of the mystery of the Rosary, as in today. Since today is Sunday, we are to pray the glorious mysteries of the Rosary. And when we get to the third mystery, the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles, we should try to bring before our mind what took place in the upper room. When all the apostles were there gathered together, to think about the details that may not be recorded in Scripture, but may have happened. We can think about these things, like the account that I read this morning. To think about what Our Lady, remember, our Lord, her Son, gave her to us to be our mother. And she is here for us today and throughout our lives to see that we get to heaven. And that is why we make the beautiful May crowning devotion throughout this entire month for her. And we should think about how or what was her role during this third mystery of the Rosary as we pray, go through the beads. To think about the mystery during the Mass, to avoid the distractions, they'll come. That is an expression of our devotion. It is a proof to our Blessed Lord that we appreciate the faith that, as I said, He has freely given to us. Don't take the Mass for granted. So few people today have the one true faith. So few have the one true Mass. There are many, many souls in the world today who have had the faith and now do not have it. And it is through their own fault. We must love the Mass, or we run the risk of losing it. And strive to not let the Mass become a routine. Rather, strive to attend the Mass with devotion, to put into practice these helps, which the Church has given to her children throughout the years, the Missal, the Rosary, meditation, to think about what is happening. And in the midst of our striving to thank our Lord for the gift of the faith which we have been given, may we ask Our Lady, the Queen of the Apostles, the Queen of the human race, she who is Queen of our families and our homes, that we may look up to her just as the apostles looked to her on that first Pentecost and obtain a share in her devotion for her divine Son. Ask Mary, who is the spouse of the Holy Ghost, that through her intercession with the Blessed Trinity, that we may be granted on this Pentecost Sunday an increase in the gift of fortitude, an increase in the gift of courage, and lastly, a greater love for the Mass. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.